Next up, it's another Wrap It Up session. Before we begin, music courtesy of 50 Jeremiah. Let's get it. So listen, bro. Listen, bro. It's yours truly. It's B&B Blunts and Battle Rap. Just thought I'd check back in. They just dropped a full card for Summer Madness. And I just wanted to get into it for a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Man, they just got, we got Surf vs. JC. We got Tay Rock versus Swamp. We got Calico versus Easy to Block Captain. We got Shotgun Suge versus Chess. And we got Danny Myers versus Swamp. I ain't gonna lie, this shit feel like Summer Madness again. It really do, respectfully. I'm glad that Calico, I mean, we already talked about that in the last podcast. I'm glad Calico finally stopped, you know, being on other shit. He was like, bruh, let's just do this. I'm like, bruh, I've been on every Summer Madness. I do not plan on missing it now. Exactly. So it was either gonna be Clips or it was gonna be Easy. And we already know, booking Clips for a battle in this time of era, it's very difficult. Very, because, like I said, Clips is, he's celebrity now. He's big time. He's big celebrity. You feel me? Like, he on Wildin' Out. He's been doing it. He's been with them for a few seasons. You feel me? At this point, he's been with them for a few seasons. So, it's like, you know, Clips is worth that right now, you know? And not to mention, Clips is just a great person in general. So, like I said, battle rap's not his main focus. You know, he was a star before he, you know, decided to come back to battle rap. Like, I just didn't know about him. But yeah, it's just hard to book Clips. But trust me, when Clips is locked in for you, when Clips decides he want to take a battle, then we know. Like, we stopped, like, after the last, I would say the last five battles, at least, nigga got to some respect on Clips' name, man. Clips ain't been playing. When Clips been on the card, he been showing up. Even against females, he been showing up. You know, he still remains himself nonetheless. But yeah, my nigga, yeah. Hey, also, like I said, shout out to 50 and Power and everything. I've been in like a 50 kind of like mood as of late, man. I was just feeling nostalgic. Just going back in time. You know, thinking about, you know, everybody grew up. You know, everybody had a gangster they grew up knowing. You know, and for me, I mean, I knew a few of them that weren't actually, but as far as celebrity gangsters, like somebody that actually like made it and shit like that, and, you know, came. The first person, yeah, 50, it's 50. And I just been, like I said, 50's music, it ages so well. You can go back and listen to it, and it feels exactly how it when it first dropped. Like when the tricks, it feels like when them Jones first hit the scene, that's how it feels. When I listen to these songs after so long, it just, yeah, it hit different. It don't hit different, but it's like the nostalgia makes you go, man, this shit is a banger now, just like it was then. That's the thing about 50s music. I like it. Now, I like 50 at this thing, like this song, Power, Powder, and Respect. I like his flow in this, because it's like an OG type of flow. It's some shit that Head Ice could be spitting. Which, and like I said, my favorite track from Head Ice is still Move, featuring Goods. Check that shit out. If you haven't checked that track is actually underrated. I think that track is kind of a vibe. I wish there was a third verse on that one, but hey, Goods and Head Ice did they thing on that. I liked it. I played it for a little bit too. Like I had it in rotation for a little while on YouTube, and then I got it on my phone, and then I switched from Android to iPhone. So yeah, that's that. And I never got around to switching certain songs to iTunes like I could with it. Anyway. Anybody that knows anything about that shit knows what I'm trying to talk about. But anyway, let's get to these battles, man. Let's get to the battles that I haven't made predictions for yet. Let's talk about, Chess and Shotgun Shug. This one, like I said, both Chess and Chef Trez, both these niggas have openly said they wanted smoke with the homie Shotgun Shug. You know, that shows you what kind of the level of respect that even though Shotgun Shug not all that lyrical. Like, I know y'all not, like, you're not looking, like, when you think Shotgun Shug, you don't think work, you don't think, like, his pen and everything. Like, he can have a pen, but his pen is not of the elite. His punchlines are not really of the elite, all that angles. Like, Shotgun Shug's always had a, like, Shotgun Shug has a thing with movie flips, and Shotgun Shug's always been a person that performs. And he puts on a show. And the shit that he be talking about is credible. Like, the shit he be, like, he could actually rap about what he rapped about. So it's like, the shit he talking is just real shit. It's just the shit, like, it don't really hit. A lot of shit he be talking about go over niggas' heads because niggas ain't from that. So it's like, ooh. But, yeah, man. But this battle, so like I said, Chess and Chef Chess both said that they would love to battle Shotgun Shug. So this is definitely a plate that Chess wanted. He's been wanting to smoke Shotgun Shug for a minute. Command his respect. I think it's a good look for Chess. What I got going in the victory? I mean, Shotgun Shug, like I said, it really just depends on, like I said, I still haven't, they just dropped Shotgun Shug versus Stumble on the app, and I haven't even got a chance to check that out yet to see who won. I had Stumbles, but like I said, I also said that it really came down to if Stumbles was going to give us that snake eye performance and that real sick performance and not stumble at all, and if Shotgun Shug wanted to kill him or not. If Shotgun Shug just wanted to be the gatekeeper, then this battle is just an uphill battle for Stumbles if he does it right. But if Shotgun Shug actually wants to stop, if Shotgun Shug actually wanted to stop the momentum of Stumbles, Shotgun Shug get the battle as well. So I want to see what happened. If Shotgun Shug had the moment, did he have the motivation to kill Stumbles Buzz before it got too hot? Or did he just play the gatekeeper and let Stumbles excel and go higher? I would definitely recap that battle in the next podcast when I get a chance to look at it. But so therefore, I really don't have much to go on for Shotgun Shug. Shotgun Shug he has good battles, he has okay battles, he has bad battles. It really just depends on his motivation. If he can switch from being the gatekeeper, and then he can go like, I'm gonna wild on you. Like with Past Day, he wild on him, but it gave you like some gatekeeper feel. Because Pat Say, rest in peace to the GOAT, Pat Say succeeded him that night. Like, all three rounds, Pat Say was in his bag. And then he put Shotgun Shug in one. Shotgun Shug was fighting, though. That was a good Shotgun Shug. He even got dressed up for the occasion. They got a button up and everything. It was fun. But, early predictions for this one, I'm going to go with Chess 2-1. It's going to be a debatable 2-1. It really just depends. Chess, like I said, on a summer mat, this is summer madness. As long as Chess don't like get super, like, you know how Chess gets super excited, he get ready to throw up. Like, as long as he can keep his composure, because I know Chess, he gets super excited, because I know he about to wild on Shotgun Shug, but Shotgun Shug, like I said, I want to see how, like, Shotgun Shug, now I haven't seen him pocket tap anybody in a while. But would he break it back for Chess? You know, cause I feel like he might try to pump Chess because Chess is younger. And I feel like Chess is not about to let that slide. You know, Chess about to be like, yo, he about to tap them pockets back. If not, or be like, I'm going to have my niggas tap him. Like, I don't know how Chess going to have that bar going, but I feel like he's going to do a flip with Shotgun Shug's pocket tapping shit. I got Chess 2-1 debatable. It just really just depends on if Shaq and Suge gonna play gatekeeper or if he really gonna wild on Chess, because Chess is gonna wild on him. And then the next one they just posted was Danny Myers versus Fonz. That's interesting. I mean, you got Bargot versus, you know, everybody that keeps saying, you know, B-Magic and Rummitty for Fonz, basically. You know, Fonz being from Ohio, Cleveland's very own. I've been happy that Fonz has been where he's at. You know, Fonz has really made quite a name for himself. I didn't like the shit that he did with JC. Face off and the battle, but overall, despite the JC battle, Fonz has always been doing his thing for the longest time. That this is a big challenge on both ends. Like Danny Myers, this is a challenge for Fonz because Fonz can't just go back to back punches with Danny Myers. No. Your punches can't just be back to back, but they also gotta be fire, they gotta be intricate. Like, you gotta really push your pen with Danny. Danny gonna talk to you, and all of it is gonna be bars. None of it's gonna be filler. Like, Danny literally crafts this shit by the letter, by the line, by that. Like, he don't play about this shit, yo. Like, Fonz could do the same shit, but I have yet. Like, he did a little bit of it with Easy, which, by the way, once again, I still give Easy that battle, but Fonz obviously advanced, so it is what it is. Nonetheless. Danny, like I said, he gotta, like I said, you can't just rap with Danny, you gotta talk to Danny, and if you're not able to talk to Danny, Danny gonna talk to your soul, and it's gonna be bar for bar, and it's gonna be a murder scene. Like, it's gonna be caution tape if you literally get in there and try to punch. Like, you gotta do more than punch. I'm not saying angles, I'm talking about your bars. You can't just go bar for bar. You got to go line for line. You got to really talk to Danny line for line. And if you can't talk to Danny line for line, it's going to get ugly before it can get better. Like, if Danny didn't choke against Real Sick, that could have got ugly. It could have got ugly because he stumbled right after he did the rebuttal and everything. I was like, oh, yeah, Danny came to play. If Danny would have got through all those rounds with Jerry West, I don't know. It could have been scary for Jerry West. Like I said, when Danny is on 10 with all three of his rounds and there's no stumble, you better come ready or you gonna die. Lyrically, bar for bar, line for line, you're gonna die if Danny comes clean, all three of his rounds are clean, and you gotta top that or die in front of him. Like, I remember his slogan used to be, God bless the man that has to stand behind these bars. That's the one that has to stand in front of these bars. That used to be his slogan at one point. God bless the men that got to stand in front of these bars. Literally, that's what it be, though. Like, have mercy on the nigga that got to step in front of Danny. You got to be a top spitter if you're going to step in front of Danny. And Fonz is a top spitter, but... yeah. I need to see some elevation from Fonz with this one. Like, I gotta see something different. Like, I wanna see him talk to Danny. Like, no hating shit, no bullshit, I wanna flat out, what it, like, he can't talk to him about his parents and stuff like that. Don't do that. That's a very ancient angle. And Fonz's not much of an angler, but I know he would try to incorporate some bars in the midst of that, and I just don't wanna hear nothing like that. You feel me? Because everybody didn't come up with all type of witty. Like, Paste, rest in peace to the GOAT. Paste had one of the best lines against Danny Myers. Your opponent's backing out on you last minute. Should have taught you something. You know, basically talking about how, you know, pulling out on you should have, like, yeah, because Danny and had 10 kids, yeah, all that shit. Who do I got winning between Danny and Fonz? I would say debatable as well. But if you put a gun to my head and asked me to pick one person, I'ma easily pick Danny. Easily. Danny is somebody that when I listen to him, it makes me want to go back to the drawing board and rethink and literally focus more on my pen. Like, him and JC, every time I hear these niggas rap, it makes me have to go back to the drawing board and be like, all right, I got to get better with my shit. Like, they inspire me to want to be better at what at my own craft, you know, with the writing shit. It's a debatable 2-1. Debatable either way, but it's a 2-1. I don't see Danny 3-0 in Fonz. It's possible. Well, hold on. No, I can see it, but it has to be shown. I have to see it for myself. I can see it, but I need to be shown it, if that makes sense. Fonz could get a 2-1 decision, but I don't see Fonz 3-0 and Danny unless Danny choked. That is the only way, and I'm going to say this on my podcast. Disclaimer, I just talk my shit. The only way I could see, me personally, seeing Fonz 3-0 and Danny is if Danny's not clean all three rounds. That is the only way he's 30 and Danny. That's the only way he would 30. That's the only way he would 30 Danny is if Danny slips and blips and all that. Other than that, I don't see it. He can get a 2-1 decision on Danny, but I don't see him getting all three rounds. There's no way. Danny, he knows how to take a punch, and he comes back with an even heavier punch, basically a heavier round. Like, that's the thing. A lot of niggas, if they go first, and then their opponent goes, and they get beat on, and they when they come back even stronger, that shit is fire. And Danny's one of them ones. Like, he can take them. He can take your punches. He can take your round and come back with an even more fire round. Other niggas is getting their feelings, and they still spit they shit. Like Rex. Another thing I want to discuss real quickly. Light-skinned niggas is down 0-3. Well, no, there's only one. I feel like the only person I feel like in this day and age, the only light skinned person that deserves a dub in this day and age is Lloyd Banks. I was watching a documentary because I always wondered what happened to Lloyd Banks. I was watching something on him and everything. It sucks him and 50 not cool. Like, that's the one person. Like, that's the one duo that I really like. I didn't really like, because they the originals with Tony Ayo and everything. Like, and you know, Lloyd Banks, one of the most lyrical masterminds of the hip hop game. It would be. I'm gonna check out them Cold Corner mixtapes. I definitely want to check them out. I've heard a lot of good things about them, you know. Because Lloyd Banks came out when I was like young as hell, man. So, if the songs weren't on the radio, I never got the joy to, like, you know, listen to Lloyd Banks, like, in, you know, his discography and his longevity, you know, its entirety. I never got to fully get to listen to his classics and everything. Everything that people rave about to this day, I haven't fully got to check out his catalog because not a lot of his shit got released to the radio stations, at least. Plus, not to mention, I grew up in, like, a gospel background, you feel me? So, like, the first, like, hip-hop star that I ever got hooked to as a kid, it was Biggie. And then you go from Biggie, and then when I first met my dad, like, the very first time, which was, like, 1995. And we're not gonna talk about Bruno. But that's when I knew about Pop. But at first, it was Biggie. No, and then as I got older, like I said, then after Biggie, you know, I didn't listen to nobody outside of Biggie and Montel Jordan. And then all I listened to was gospel music. And then, like, when I got like 10, maybe 8, 9, 10, then that's when I hear Lloyd, Banks, 50, Busta. Like, and you got, like, the damn Franchise Boys was out at the time. There was so many different acts, so many different groups. Georgia was really representing, but New York as well. A lot of niggas from the South, a lot of niggas from the East. The West, I didn't really get hit a lot to the, besides Pac, of course, and Snoop. A lot of niggas, I didn't really get, well, no, I lied, Snoop too. And Nate Dogg, yes. So it was Biggie, and then it's Snoop and Nate Dogg, and then ironically, yeah, I get introduced to Pac later, but it was Snoop and Nate Dogg and Biggie. But man, I was checking some shit out on the internet. Shout out to Sean C, man. Sean C is like my favorite. He's one of my favorite YouTubers, like of all time. Like, he's him, Kane Carter, Long Beach Griffey. Like, these are like, and you know, like I said, these are like literal Drew Comments. Like, these, like, Drew Comments is highly underrated on the YouTube scene. Highly underrated. I feel like Drew Comments is like the Lloyd Banks of the YouTube shit. For real, he's really underrated. A lot of, he don't really, like, because his following should be a lot higher, because he really, he be talking about a lot of good shit. He makes a lot of sense. He really be, and the way, and I like his takes. I like how he's, you know, a lot of things. I like a lot of his ideas and shit like that. But Sean C, when it comes to when I want some new music to listen to or anything else like that, because I don't really listen to the radio like that no more. I'm spoiled with iTunes, you know. And if you're not one of my favorite artists, I don't really be like my top five. I really don't be checking for like to see if you have anything new, unless I hear it in rotation on the radio. So Sean C kind of helps me, like, he helps me look for albums, and I just like singles and shit like that. You got ready. Like, Sean C gives me like albums that are good to listen to, like whole albums that I can be like, they're enjoyable from start to finish. Like, that's who I go to, because Sean C has a pretty good ear for music, and he has, and pretty much his reviews are well respected. I mean, he's almost to, I think, isn't he at 1 million? I feel like he already hit 1 million subscribers. Or he's damn near close. Like, cause he's well respected. Like, he's a real, like. But I was coming across this video. It had been a while since he posted. I was wondering when he was. I mean, he posted a few album reviews lately, but I haven't really checked them out because I was already listening to some of the shit that he was already reviewing. So I had already had my opinion on him, and I left it at that. There are certain things I'd be wanting to hear his opinions on. Like, if it's like a favorite artist of mine, like, for example, Denzel Curry. Anytime he wants to speak on Denzel Curry, I'm on it. I want to hear his take on it, because I have a feeling, but also he has a feeling. So I got to know what's up. Like, but in this particular video, he, like I said, there, not only does he does music reviews, but he also talks about the artists as well. He talks about artists, you know, like in the media and stuff like that and what they're up to. One time he did a Cold Kanye West series, and man, it was interesting. It was quite interesting. But it also helped me, like, it helped me separate personal Kanye from legend GOAT Kanye. Legend GOAT Kanye, that person is untouchable. Music, untouchable. I will forever be a Kanye West fan. Chicago, stand up. Personal Kanye, prayer. Serious prayer. All the prayer. That's all we're going to say. We're not going to talk shit. We're not going to hate. We're not going to say this. We're not going to say that. We just going to send prayers and positive energy towards, yeah, that is it. That is all. But I keep getting off topic. His video a couple of days ago, he said, and like I said, he has the title of his videos is be somewhat, they can come off savage in some cases. Like, he'll just come out and just say such and such is trash, or this album is not bad, but it's not good. Like, he'll say it's not bad, which means, like, there were certain things he liked about it, but there were a lot of things he didn't like about it. Like, but he's just so savage in the title. It's like, and this one, what did he say? He said Drake is soft. I was like, whoa. Now, there's a lot of people that would agree with that statement. A lot of hip-hop artists. But anyway, we don't talk about Bruno. Let's... I was watching the video, and I guess another YouTuber, I've seen him referenced in one of Sean C's videos before when they discussed a Travis Scott album review. I think his name is Fantano or something. Shout out to him. I don't check out your channel, but shout out to you because I'm mentioning you. I guess he did a Drake review. I don't know which album. I don't know anything about the situation. But apparently, Drake didn't take too kindly to his review of the album and got in his DMs. Now, the YouTuber in question wasn't really going to say anything about the matter for real. He wasn't going to, he was just, but Drake said something about it. He posted, and he actually, I guess the DM, I think he posted it to something, to this media account, talking about how, I don't know how this DM got released. Like, Sean C said something about it, but basically this text, the real text message got posted about, I guess Drake was talking about your existence is a light one. And I guess, and he said something about, the only reason why I'm like relaxing on you is because you're married to a black woman. And I'm just like, wait, what? Like, this didn't sound like Drake for me. Like, I was like, what is going on? Like, the thing, like, Drake, one, like, it's sad to say, but Drake was like one of my, well, it's not sad to say, no. I still like Drake as an artist. I just don't like the certain moves he makes. I really don't. Like, for a while, he had my baby mama on his ass about this. Like, because there's a lot of rumors and conspiracies about the ex, you know, the ex stuff, you know, and Drake being involved in some way. She was really heavy in that conspiracy, and I wasn't feeling it. And even if it was remotely at all true, it's just terrible. It's just terrible. Nonetheless, I mean, he's still popping and he's still buzzing. That was years ago when people thought about that. But she decided, you know, like I said, she's big on these type of things. Me, however, I'm not. I just heard about it. This situation, though, it was just funny to speak on right now because I had last podcast spoke on the game taking the L. And then what was the other light-skinned person that took the L? It was somebody else. I spoke on them, too. Like, it was wild, man. But this third person, they down. Oh, John the Don. Yeah, with that diss track. Yeah. It was playable, but it's like, bro. Hey. But yeah, 0 and 3. 0 and 3. Like, YouTubers should not be pressed by celebrities. Like, and this kind of sad because this kind of feeds into the whole when Tory Lanez used to say that he was Drake's little brother. Well, look at that. The big brother here taking moves from Tory because Tory does stuff like this. When Dax dropped that diss track on Tory, you know, even though Tory put out the invitation for Smoke, like, he wanted somebody to get on track and go to war with him. And then when a YouTuber does it, oh, he gonna pull up on this nigga. He got his goons with him and recording and stuff like that, trying to look like some high school bully. What the hell? And now Drake doing the same thing with a YouTuber? With another YouTuber? With a YouTuber who reviews music and stuff? Like, what are we doing? This, you got a whole, like, he got a whole kid in jump. Like, it's just so weird. I don't understand the world anymore. Everything's happening. There's so much. On top of that, you notice that everybody from the Empire label, you notice a lot of artists from the Empire label have passed away. I think that's crazy. That's very interesting. Like, all of our talented people, like Mo, just a lot of them, like, they were all from the Empire label. That's something to think of. I'm big on patterns and treatment. Now, rest in peace to all the people from that label that passed. But patterns and treatment, respectfully. Summer Madness is going down September 24th at 5 p.m. on the Caffeine. It's gonna be crazy. It's gonna be a movie, bruh. Like, I already gave my other predictions. Like I said, JC, Surf. I've been wanting this for a long time, man. This, for me, is the last battle that I want for JC besides Lux. A-Verb is his personal conquest. I never wanted to see him versus Verb. And in the Verb now, I definitely don't want to see JC versus Verb. It would look bad. But JC and Lux, I still want to see it. scratched the surface. Like, this summer madness ain't about me. It's about JC. And really, in a way, it is, because, like I said, this is like JC's finally getting the battle that has been like these two have been going back at it for years, back and forth on Twitter, the interviews. It's just been a hell. They've been in multiple face-offs. Like it's finally time. It took a while, but it's finally here. And JC, he got to kill Surf. If he really want to. If you really want to kill Surf, you got to. Because I'm looking, like I said, it's really hard to bet against Surf, but if I had to put JC, I'm low for Easy and Calico being ballad at night, to be honest with you. Cause like I said, they gon' everything that Easy talked about in his diss track to Cal, like, you know, I just wanna exchange drug stories and talk about the gutter. That's literally what I wanna watch between these two. Like, this battle is basically a battle of real shit. Like, just cause niggas don't, it's not all niggas are trapped. You ain't gotta be a trap to understand real shit. And Easy and Calico always come with real shit. They talk about shit that even I, like, even my ass would know and fuck with and understand. Yeah, man. Tune in to Summer Madness 12. I know I'm definitely trying to look forward to it. It's also one of my brother's birthday. Man, geez. I think he'll be 29. He'll be 29 now. He just turned 29. Oh, I've been 29 for a good minute. Mm-hmm. Cheers, big 3-0. Yeah. That's all I have for today, though. This is B&B signing out respectfully.